thank you.
You're recording.
Oh, yeah. We're just waiting 1 second for Ken. Yes, for 1 second. Oh, well, I can have Harold, right?
You have to do the minutes first.
I'll let you do the minutes first. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
Second.
Okay. Gary? Vote?
Aye.
Gary?
Take him out of water. Is he the first one there? Does he want to go 199? Does he want to tell us something else?
No, you can't. Because I know, yeah, I guess you can. Because with the only reason I'm saying this is because with the chairman, he got to vote. I'm sorry. I don't care what it is.
I'll say you
can. I think we actually can, yeah.
Why don't we do
the resolutions?
Okay.
So we're going to do the resolutions. We have Resolution 190, appointing a legislative representative to the Ulster County.
Can you vote on that, Mary?
I think so.
Okay.
I guess if we find out after.
I'll move it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll second it.
Okay, any discussion?
All in favor?
Before I vote.
Okay.
I'm under the impression that it's allowable under the circumstances for you to vote faint. And based on
so we're assuming it's allowable.
Right, we discussed it and we understand it, and that's our understanding. And if there's any differences, that it could be remedied at a later date.
Right.
But as for now, for the vote, that is the same.
Okay.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Mary Bronto.
Sure. So, do you want to go first, Mike?
Sure.
Hi, guys. This is a very special thing. I don't get to do a lot of these committee meetings. I like this.
Much more intimate.
Absolutely. Just what I figured that what we would do is review where we stand with the Patriots Project, give some update on the whole process, talk about some other things that we think are important on that in the veterans arena, and kind of talk about the genesis of the Patriots Project and go from there. The reason the Patriots Project actually works is because it's a brand new model. Typically, and some may know and some may not know, homelessness among veterans in our country is a national tragedy. We should all, I mean, literally, it's shocking when you look around. We designed a model that, allowed us to be able to go far beyond our normal means. We'd be limited by dollars. Okay, we didn't have the dollars necessary to be able to move forward and solve the problem. We were having 2 to 3 homeless veterans present themselves on a monthly basis, and no solutions. And it was tragic. So, fast forward, let's figure out some solutions. We went to the federal government.
Yeah.
The truth is there wasn't any answers there. And it is a national tragedy. That said, it started us down a path. We could have simply said, it's not a county issue, it's really somebody else's problem, and go from there. But we didn't. We've scoured the state inventory of properties. We've got to be more thoughtful about how we went through this process. Went through that process. Identified a piece of property, 67 Birch Street in Kingston, and there were some big pluses to it. There was also some big minuses. The big pluses were that it was in an area that was accessible to mass transportation. David, how are you doing? So the big pluses were mass transportation is accessible. That's an important process. Some of the other pieces that were really important were that it could house a significant number of people. It had space for at least 8 residents, but maxes out at 14 residents. So really had the possibility of being able to serve more people. It was a former group home, so that it was already off the property tax rolls. So it wasn't something that was going to come off the property tax rolls and in some way harm taxpayers in the city of Kingston or the county in general.
Sorry.
So, bottom line of the situation is, if you see the situation where you thought that you can, we expect from the Larkin and the city to move forward, because it's fairly on coordinated things. Governor agreed to sign off on it. And we meet, maybe you're a really good real estate dealer, maybe you're not, but you're very comfortable with what we were doing. We understood what the issues were. The downside of the facility, it had been left vacant for an extended period of time. It had asbestos on the inside, the chimney was crumbling, had some shelf issues, and long minutes of day. But you also understand, here's an amazing storage structure that was never going to be made whole again, ever. And it's just going to be allowed to deteriorate and crumble because nobody was going to pay the bill. Okay? Heat was off, all those kinds of things. We just came dead. So what we did was we made a conscious decision to have that property transferred over to the county and begin. Now, there was also a big leap of faith in this process. We didn't have the money necessary to be able to complete the entire project, but we knew that we also looked at our books and said, it's owned by the community college and the county, and the main portion of it is the county. And it's one of only 6 in the state of New York in which the president of the community college has a luxury home as part of the compensation package for being the president of the community college. I called the president of the community college up, spoke to him, told him what my intentions were. By the way, we're also spending about $30,000 a year additionally in just maintenance on that facility. It's about in-ground pools for 2 driveways, lovely. But doesn't fit the kind of what I believe are important priorities when it comes to having a luxury home for the college president versus having the ability to care for homeless veterans.
Right.
So we talked about this, and it was really, again, a testament to the president of the community college, the entire board of trustees, they embraced the idea and moved forward with the sale of the property. It sold for approximately $480,000. The vast majority of those dollars were required by law to go to the county, to the state, to the community college.
Right.
$150,000, though, was allocated. I think it's a rough number, but that gets us close. It's allocated to the county. All of that was dedicated by this legislature to this project. It gives seed money that we really need in this process. And again, we continue to move forward with, I believe, a very thoughtful model that nobody else has really been designed. In fact, we were asked to speak about this in Fort Worth, Texas, to the National Association of Counties, and there were 3,500 people in attendance for this speech because they're struggling with it too. All across the nation, people are struggling with trying to figure out models that can work in this place. So the next step for us was to be able to figure out how to make this transfer. And I will tell you the story in the process that is moving and it changed me as a person. I was driving up Orchard Street. It's this very steep hill. Came to the crest. We were having a problem, but it hadn't been completed yet. Now the county, that property was completely overgrown, and it was a mess on the outside. I pull up to the stop sign and I look, and it's immaculate. The brushes are, the bushes are done, flag is flying, bench is there, mulch is underneath, and as county executives will do, I said, oh my goodness, our guys have jumped the gun, our buildings and grounds people have gone in there, we have huge liability, we don't own this yet. I'm very concerned. So I called our building and grounds folks up, and they proceeded to tell me, they said, boss, it wasn't us. It was a veteran who lives in the area who simply said, these are my brothers, and we're going to care for this, and this is our home now. That individual was in the room with us. How it goes with us today. It changed me, because I understood that this was so much more than just the government building. Okay? So we went with everything we had to try to move it forward. And something remarkable happened. Our community in Ulster County is spectacular. From the Rotary to Bob Serafusano, sorry, Bob Serafusano, who owns Sawyer Motors, came to us and said, Mike, I'm going to donate every cent that we raise on our summer car show. It's a lot of money. It's $11,500. Take it all. Put it towards this. The church communities came forward and put a $50,000 new roof on us. The Benedictine Foundation gives $10,000. All the way down to people who just said, how can I help? Can you take a stove? We'll get you a brand new stove. People who wanted to make it, here's $20. Can I dedicate this? The wonderful folks at United Way agreed to be a clearinghouse for this at no cost to the county and handle all the dollars. And our people have been remarkable. It's been a labor of love for our Department of Public Works as they move through this process. The new model really is this. The government, which can't do it alone, partners with the private sector. By the way, think about what has happened here. You have individual citizens and groups in Ulster County, more than 100 of them have come forward to give good services, dollars, towards this project. We are now in excess of $135,000 in value from them. The iron workers came there when it was 4 degrees outside and put a state-of-the-art handicap accessibility ramp into this facility. Tented it. It's remarkable. The model looks like this. Non-for-profit on one side, one part of this, county government on another side, this local government, which does not have the dollars but understands the issues, and then the public. So the general public and an amazing public-private partnership with non-for-profits have been able to structure something, because it's more than just the facility. It's how do you provide services for people in their moments of need. So we reached out to an organization called Soldier On. Soldier On is a nationally recognized administrator of services to homeless veterans. Because of the way the structure is, the total county contribution, by the way, they provide 24-hour service, on-site, food, all the necessary to run the operation from an operational perspective. The county has the facility, and we pay for things like we plow it. We make sure that the heat's on, the electric's on, but the actual management and maintenance of the facility is done by professionals who do specifically this issue so we can provide the best possible services for our veterans in need, and the total county contribution to Soldier On is zero. They access their dollars through the VA and the individuals. That's how it works. So there's no actual county dollar, taxpayer dollars being allocated for that. So we can get high-quality service for people in need in a facility worthy of people who have served our country, and then move through it in a way that doesn't come off the tax rolls, saves a historic building, provides the kind of service. And it's my great hope, by the way, that this facility at some point becomes not needed. I would love nothing more than for it not to be needed, for us not to have homeless veterans in our community. But as long as we do, we have an obligation, in my opinion, to make things right. This does those kinds of things. I ask each and every one of you and anybody that you want to join us. We're going to open this building and have a ribbon cutting on July 2nd at 1 o'clock. And so before Independence Day in Ulster County, we're going to end homelessness in our veteran population. End it. From a problem that nobody had a solution for that couldn't be fixed, because this legislative body, our administration, and a whole host of other people were really thoughtful in this process, we're going to end homelessness of veterans in Ulster County, and it is absolutely becoming a model around the state of New York and the nation. We're very excited about what's happening. There's a few other things that I think we should talk about. I think we should talk about the upcoming on Saturday. Again, everybody was wonderful in this process. I think Brian Cunningham was the most worried person in the world when we all looked to be able to transition out of 300 Flatbush Avenue. He had to move and work with the crane companies to be able to move our Vietnam monuments. they're obviously much more than just stuff. They're very important, and they make an enormous difference to people who have given their lives for our country and their families and everybody else. So we moved them pretty quietly. We said we'll fund it, we'll do everything right, but we're really going to really let this be done by the veterans, the community. The Vietnam veterans never got treated right, and a lot of people don't understand that. And this provides them the ability to take care of their own in this process. So there was a motorcycle group that took them across. Ultimately, it was reset, and I did smile when I got the phone call. No politicians, no elected officials, no nobody. Just people doing it, getting it right. They chose where it was going to be relocated to, which was the armory. If you go there, it looks like it was made for it, like it's been there for forever. Our folks put some pavers around the outside, redid it, made it nice. It's going to be rededicated on Saturday. It's at 11 o'clock. This Saturday, 11 o'clock. I encourage everybody to come. It's a simple ceremony, but it's really important. And I think the last remaining Gold Star mother, who has a child name listed on that wall, will be there. And so that's going on as well. There's one more thing that I think is really important. So we've talked a little bit about Soldier On. We've talked a little bit about the Patriots Project. We've talked a little bit about the movement of the Veterans Monument. We also believe that we have a fundamental issue, that war has changed in our nation. It's no longer the big conflicts of World War II and Korea and Vietnam. It's smaller skirmishes. But people still die. People lose their lives, families get turned upside down. There's not a great way that's been devised to be able to name and address and memorialize the individuals who have given their life for our country. So it's my recommendation. And again, when we worked with the Patriots Project, one of the things that was very important was to recognize that it wasn't our home, veterans' homes. And so we worked with a Veterans Advisory Council, a group of veterans who will help advise us on the honorable thing to do, the appropriate thing to do from a protocol perspective, and to make sure that we got things right for veterans. They were fantastic in this process. By the way, the first head of that was J.J. Hansen. So I'm very proud of that. It's been a hard 2 weeks, I suspect. So what we're going to recommend is that advisory board, the post commanders, this legislature, whichever formation you choose to do, our office, work on putting a memorial on the front lawn of this building dedicated to everybody throughout history of the United States of America, Ulster County, that has given their life for our country. I think it's appropriate that it be in the most prominent place in this county. There wouldn't be a government but for them. And the truth is, I hope we never have to add another name for someone like Sergeant Farrell or Private Cordo or a whole host of other people over the course of so many years they've given their life. But the truth is, it's very likely that we will. And so it'll be designed. We'll work with our historians. We'll work with all of the military folks to get it right. And we'll have everyone listed there. And then again, I will look forward to working with all of you in this process and anything we can do to work with the military and the local community of veterans to make sure, again, that we get it right. And it's my goal that we have this done by Memorial Day of 2015. I think it's a reasonable thing to attain. Okay, guys. I've also asked Ken and Bert to be here in case you have any additional questions, but I do appreciate the opportunity to come in and talk. It's been very valuable. I'll tell you about something that happened today that's slightly different. We passed 30 executive orders. By the way, nothing to do with this committee, but we'll talk anyway. It's the 3rd executive order that we have for listed. For a long time, people made actions of trying to be to use renewable energy for use of its electricity. Governing bodies around the country would typically dedicate 5 or 10% in an attempt to be able to at least show token appreciation for environmental actions. We really studied this for an extended period of time to figure, make sure that we did it right. And so today we issued an executive order that it's not 5 or 10%, no, 100% of our electricity is going to come from renewable energy sources. Solar, wind, hydro. We believe that we have the capacity to really set an example. Over there you'll also see water retention sites that rewrite how, and there's wonderful projects, they're grant funded. They provide the ability to show people how you can deal with stormwater runoff in very different ways. So that, again, 3/4 of the rain that comes off of our Department of the Environment absorbed on site by the piece that we have, the parking lots that we have, the water runs off, never sees the septic system or the sewer pipe in the city of Kingston, the stormwater system, so it doesn't further damage that. Obviously, it's a system that is hundreds of years old and can be absolutely overwhelmed in major storms. We're trying to show what's possible as well. So we're excited about being able to work on this. I think we have real possibilities. There are actually credits that we buy. So it's a slight premium for us to be able to get 100% renewable energy sources. But that slight premium, the second part of the executive order also directs the Department of the Environment, Planning Department, and Department of Public Works to identify a strategy to be able to save us that money in reduction of usage, efficiency efforts, and maybe even some self-generation to be in a position where there's no impact to the taxpayers. So, great for the environment, great for our taxpayers. We definitely have to address today, so you should know about that. Again, Ken and Bert are here to answer any questions that you guys have. I appreciate the opportunity, and again, I ask each and every one of you to keep JJ in your prayers. Okay. Thank you very much, guys.
Meeting has been started. Mary's
started it. No problem.
We need your vote. We voted. We need Dave for the vote.
Yes, sir. See what's going on with them.
I see that clock is fast because my
power back.
No, it's about 5 minutes fast. It's actually is good. My it's 6:17 when I walked up there. So I said by about a minute early. I show up on there. It was like 4 minutes later. But that's actually 5 minutes because the this says 6:17. That's 6:23.
Do you want to revote on 190,
then? Yeah, 190 was the appointing legislative representative to the Ulster County Cooperative Extension Board, and Mary Warrow has agreed to serve, and we thank you, Mary. And I know you'll do a good job. You do have some big shoes to fill with Wayne Harris.
That's true.
I think he had 14, so you were 14. I don't know. Yeah, it keeps them steady for the golf swing. Actually, rather than doing these, you guys were going to give us a little, Mike filled us in on the presentation, and I guess it's going to be July 2nd.
It'll be July 2nd, I believe, at 1 o'clock.
At 1 o'clock. And Bert, did you want to fill it out? Was the I guess he filled us in on the financing of it also,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Well, we basically need the financing. I can talk to that. Sure. First of all, I don't know if you saw, we announced 2 days ago that we partnered with a group, Soldier On. Soldier On is a nationally renowned group that specializes in serving homeless veterans. We've struck an agreement with Soldier On that they're going to come in and operate in Ulster County. So they'll be doing the operations, they'll be providing the staff, the food, and all of that programming, and provide the case management services to veterans when a veteran presents themselves in need of services. We'll then be able to make that link to Soldier On. They will then have a caseworker that will do assessment, identify, because again, this isn't permanent housing, this is emergency transitional housing. So the goal is to identify barriers to self-sufficiency and then make linkages to what's needed, whether it be a job, whether it be to mental health treatment, other health care needs, and then really, you know, devise a short-term plan how to move that person into more permanent housing. So that's kind of the model that they bring to the table. That's really great. And by the county providing the base carrying costs of the building, light, heat, phone, you know, things that we would pay for any county building, they're able to bring their programming here without charging us any additional money, because they're able to access their homeless veteran dollars that they receive. And that's why what's so great, Mike was talking about kind of this model we put together, is that they usually don't come to a rural county, a county of a population with our profile, because they can't make it work financially. But when you put that piece in, here's this facility, you don't got to worry about keeping the lights on, the money works really well for them to provide.
So where do we pay the telephone? In other words, we pay the electricity and the
heat? Yeah, well, we're still thinking, like, what we did is...
The maintenance.
We're basically
giving them the building to work out of, in a sense.
It would be like us being the landlord, and they're coming in and out and working, and then we're not charging them any rent. That's basically how they'll be.
The exchange.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so again, we're really excited about it, and we'll do the dedication on July 2nd, and then hopefully by the middle of July we'll start actively using the facility. We're trying to do it in a really respectful way, because you don't want a lot of people, being curious as people are there. A lot of the people that are receiving services are very proud, and they don't want people to know. I mean, quite frankly, we do have mechanisms to provide emergency housing to the poor. A lot of these guys are very proud, and they don't want to receive social services. They don't, they'll go to sleep in the woods. So this provides it's a mansion. It's just an amazing place. And Soldier On is, the programming was designed and is run by veterans. So it's really their own people, men in service, providing to people that were in service. So
it's really a really nice building. It's been in disrepair, but I mean, I remember as a kid growing up down there, that building was always an impressive building because of that big stone porch on the front of that. And then you got the park right across the street, which is, it's really, really great. I don't think you come up with a better spot.
I'll pass these out, and then I'll kind of walk through that for you.
Yeah,
these are all things we've seen, Harold, but I'm going to just kind of walk through. Just got to give you a quick outline of the program and the mission.
How many people are typically in a room?
One per room.
One per room. Okay.
We designed it. So maybe we can just go to put the diagrams of the interior. The first diagram is the first floor of the building.
You have an extra one, sir?
Here you go. We worked with an architect, Scott Dutton, and we've done a great job. One of the things we had to do is this building, it wasn't sprinkled, for example. And in order for us to soldier on to draw down the VA funding, we had to meet certain standards. So we made sure that we got it right with regard to the sprinkler system, the right widths, for entrances, exits. And as Mike mentioned, the iron workers put this amazing handicap ramp in the back so they can answer in the back. The building itself has 8 bedrooms. On the first floor, there are 2 handicap accessible bedrooms. And with a handicap accessible bathroom. So there's 8 bedrooms, 4 bathrooms. Two full bathrooms on the first floor, 2 full bathrooms on the second floor. And then we designed it. And a lot of it, the veterans that will be serving, they're looking for a private space. But again, it's community living in that a lot of the programming is done, they take meals together. They take, they'll be having programming in the living room together. Each of them will have their own bedroom with their own car key, like you find at a hotel, so that they'll still have their private space where they can, keep their things locked up and have their own private space. But again, two handicap accessible bedrooms on the first floor, and then 6 additional bedrooms on the second floor. And then, as the county executive mentioned, we still have a third floor that we did not renovate at this point. So we felt that having 8 bedrooms would meet the county's needs now and into the near future. So we did not renovate the third floor.
What do they figure the typical time how long someone would stay?
It varies, but the goal is to try not to exceed, 4 or 5 months type of adventure. You know, but again, a lot, some of the people coming in may have lost their job or may have had an issue with it. It's something that you can resolve relatively quickly. Again, really the key to it is the case management.
Right.
And it's, again, what's stopping you from being successful?
Right.
Figure out what that is and then come up with a plan and how to address that.
Gotcha.
This is just a rendering I have of the kitchen. They designed it really nice so that depending upon the accessibility issues, that there's the counters with multiple heights so someone can help prepare. Because part of the programming with Soldier On is it's community-based. Everybody shifts in. They share meals together. So we designed it so that no matter anyone's ability, that everybody can participate and feel like they're part of that system. And then I just attached some frequently asked questions about the project on the back as well, too. So you just have that for your records.
Anybody have any other questions?
We got quite a few chefs that like to come in and cook for them. If they got a day off or something somewhere else and they're working, they come in, they want to cook, they would like to come in and cook.
Yeah.
So we got a lot of guys that want to do that, come in there and help. Their own time. Just for the veterans. And they are veterans. They're also chefs.
The community involved, nice.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, definitely. Again, we suspect that the day that we need room cutting, we're going to work with the city.
You're not going to cook, are you, Harold?
No. Okay. I can, but, but I used to work in the chop house,
Again, I know we have,
That was when you were a kid.
Over 100, almost 150 people to invite, just from people that have donated at this point. I mean, just the dedication is going to be nice. That's we may be working. We may have to close down that corner of the street just so people can be in front of it.
Right.
Dedication. So
I have pictures, but I'm not going to show them right now. Okay. I know I have them with me, some of them, but I'm not going to show them right now because I'm going to get with somebody else, and we're gonna put it on a video or something. So whatever people took pictures of, they'll have, and all my pictures that I have.
Do you have them digital?
I have a digital camera. Yeah, I take them out. I can have them printed out. Whatever I can go on a computer or anything with it.
Just make a slideshow out of them.
Yeah, we're gonna have like a slideshow. People can see what's going on. So I want to keep that a surprise. I don't want to keep showing it around to everybody. Only a couple certain people I show so far. No matter where I go, I don't take the picture with me. But I talk about the home. I talk about our veterans coming in. A lot of people don't even know that we're going to have a home in Kingston. And a lot of military people don't even know. A lot of funerals. And I met the guy who had a funeral today. And at the Veterans Cemetery. We met the two soldier boys that came from Newburgh. And they didn't even know we. So it's out here in the community, but it's not out in other communities, which I think it should be, to let them know we have a veterans home coming to Kingston. That makes the county so proud, very proud, definitely.
Yeah. Of course, our goal is to serve the veterans of Ulster County. And we've arranged the contract so that would be the priority for any placement in the home. That's not really our goal.
And I think it was brought up on one of our...
And to be a model.
Yeah. It's that neat combination of, the government participating in it. Again, for us to help, hold a building and money. It's really not a huge expense to the county. It's really the staffing and the programming that were the expense. But then when you combine the two together, it works. And I think it's something that other counties and a lot of places are going to look at.
Well, a lot of counties, different counties, also donated to us already. In one of our meetings we had in our committee meeting, we brought up about Ulster County veterans only. No. If we have another veteran in distress from a different county and he needs help, we're going to help him. This is what I was told.
Yeah.
And I think it's good if we do that. We know we have a ladies veteran already at home in Illinois. But if they're in distress and they need help, we'll help them. If we can't get them out there, out to Ellenville right away, we'll hold them and then send them out the next day, I hope.
Yeah.
Because we don't want to turn no veteran around. I don't care what they are or who they are. I'm 100% for it, the whole thing.
And again, I mean, people are saying, you know, are you gonna, you know, it's gonna, you're going to be, you know, eight people there on day one. No, that's not the case. Yeah. In all honesty, that there are veterans we provide service for now through the different mechanisms we have. But what's really unique about this is pulling together not just the emergency housing, but all that programming that goes with it. Because the goal, again, is to bring someone to self-sufficiency.
Right.
You know, I mean,
because we don't know how they have these veterans are going to be. So we have to, they have to go to the VA and get screened. We don't know if they're druggies or if they're alcoholics or whatever. Some of them are probably homeless, but some of them are going to need something. And we're going to get them in that home, we hope. Rehabilitate them, get them on their feet, get a job, and get them on their own. I heard it was going to be maybe 6 months, maybe a little bit more. It all depends how they are. Mm-hmm. You know? And that's important. So that's why we need everybody's help to do that.
Yeah, we haven't set a maximum time for it to be in the home. Again, the goal is not for this to become someone's permanent residence.
No. It's not a permanent home. It's like a rehabilitation center. Or similar. To get them on their feet,
right,
and get them out.
Yeah, we want people to live on their own and their own, have their own job and be part of society.
Anybody have any other questions? Or
again, appreciate all your support on it, and
everyone's
going to make it on the site. It's going to be really great.
Thank you.
And what I said at the last meeting about the PAC, that's in the works.
Okay, very good.
Okay.
Yep.
So as soon as I find out when it's done and everything, I'll get a hold of you.
Okay.
And we'll see if we can get him here at a big meeting with everybody.
I'll take care of that.
But don't let him know what it's for.
I won't. I'll take care of it.
Okay.
Thank you, Aaron.
You're welcome.
Tell him we're having a cake.
You need any money on our shirts? Are they still in the process?
Yeah, it's like, you may get some free.
Yeah, then what they're doing for me right now is doing box by box. Okay. So whoever orders, that's the one there. She said, this way you're going to have a whole bunch in your hand, and you don't know who to get it from.
Are you leaving? Or
you
guys are leaving? I just want to fill them in on the cost of thing. Let them know so you can just let them know that we
have to order all the stuff.
Had a very productive meeting.
When I get in there, I couldn't get in. I was so busy doing funerals and everything else, maple scraps. I didn't have a chance to go back over there.
That's fine. I don't want to have...
Alrighty, before we go back to all the, before we deal with the resolutions, the rest of them, we did have a, alright, before we deal with the resolutions, we had a very productive meeting with CASA and Social Services. It was myself, Ken Cornell, of course, who orchestrated it. We met at CASA, their building there over on Maiden Avenue. And it was very productive, and we're moving forward on it. You know, not everybody was satisfied that, you know, they got everything, but I think everybody was satisfied that there was conversation and we're moving in the right direction. So, you know, both the CASA director and Social Services, you know, are meeting. I'm assuming they've had meetings already. I haven't got any complaints back, so normally I get them, so I'm the, complaint director. So, yeah, it seemed to work. But they were very good. And it was there was some blunt conversation that took place. You know, some things that, you know, had to be said, and they were said, and it seemed that everything worked. And a number of the CASA volunteers were there, and they seemed to be satisfied also that we're moving forward on it. So if there's anything else, I'll keep you updated. But I, you know, thank you for all your supporting me to move forward on that a little bit to try to straighten it out. All right. Then then we'll move forward. What do we have? The next resolution is Resolution 197. And that is approving the execution of a contract for Cornell Cooperative Extension and the Department of the Environment.
I'll move it.
This is revenue coming through to them, right?
Yeah, to provide coordination technical assistance, flood hazard mitigation plan.
They're getting money and we're approving them getting money?
Yeah. Yep. All those in favor?
Aye.
Did you second, Don?
It was, it was first by Mary and second by Don. Then we have Resolution 199. You're good if you let you want to add anything. Thank you very much,
everybody.
Appreciate it.
Oh, quick question before you run.
Sure.
Sure, if I may. On the announcement of the electricity, is the capacity zone going to have any impact on that or not?
No. Now, I did think it's a long-term, it's a contract that we enter into that purchases the offset credit.
That's fine. I just want to make sure about
that. The revenue zone impacts our budget. In fact, that we're buying the electricity through renewable
okay.
or not.
Thank you.
Cool. Thank you.
All right. And this is a proclamation that to resolution that the county executive wishes to support, and it is saying that the county legislature proclaims Ulster County to be a purple heart county.
I'll move it.
All right. Lopez, Morrow. Now, this last one is not, it's for discussion only. We are not voting on this because we have to go for the public hearing. And I will say that, at this point, as everybody knows, the original formula for community colleges was one-third, one-third, one-third. The state has not lived up to their one-third. They're somewhere around 25, I think, or 26%. But what the state does do, and that some people don't realize, is the state pays for virtually half of all capital gains projects. I mean, capital gains, I'm thinking money here. Capital projects. So the capital projects that are, when we put them in, the state actually picks up half that cost. So they do, put in money there. But having said that, they still aren't living up to theirs. But at this point, we are not either. We're only at 30%. So what has happened is the students are picking up more and more of the percentages. And as you know, you probably got the notice that it was going to be a $100 increase. And to offset that $100 increase, I think it's a $220,000 increase to, we would have to do a $220 increase to our county contribution. I don't know where you stand on that, but I am going to offer an amendment in that light, because I really think that after 6 years, it's time for us to increase our contribution, at least to add off that $100 increase. And it still will not get us at 33%, though I may consider later on pushing us towards that, but that's neither here nor there. The other thing is I worked with the comptroller's office to come up with a resolution because apparently the college and the comptrollers come up with an idea that, because when, one of our problems is our chargeback. Our chargebacks are, what is it, $3 million, is it?
$3 million.
Yeah, it's over $3 billion, right?
Yeah, it's over.
It's like $3.2 million with your chargebacks. And we only bring in maybe 100,000 or something, 180. A lot of that has to do with probably the location. I think that's probably the largest contributor. But there are other things that contribute. So what they were looking at is when someone registers for college, if they go to Hudson Valley Community College or Dutchess or
if they're going to any other community college, they have to get, that community college requires a residency certificate. They then have to go to, you know, the clerk's office and get this, you know, this certificate. Well, when they get that certificate, what we wanted them to do is fill out a survey. Now, the county attorney said that we couldn't do that. They said they couldn't do it because of, you know, she gets a quote and so on. But if we put it in as a resolution and make it a policy, we believe that they can. As long as it's not saying that they, in other words, we can't deny them that certificate by not making it out. But if you put that on the back of that certificate with an arrow saying, you know, make out the form on the other side, we'll get an idea. So the questionnaire was more or less done up. I looked it over, and you know, we're going to probably maybe make some changes. But I was going to run it off, but I'll have it for you the next time. Because next time is when we'll vote on it. Because I just put it in. I didn't put it in for this month. So it's for next month. So the questionnaire is pretty simple, straightforward. You know, why are you attending, you know, a college other than community college, the county community college? You know, and they get just a check off. Is it close to your home, close to your job? One of the things is we got to figure out the wording for the idea that some people have the idea that it's 13th grade. Yeah, and that's some issue, so we have to figure that out. And if that is an overwhelming reason, then maybe the college has got to come up with a strategy to address that. The survey should be able to help, because with May, we don't know what's going to happen. We have ideas. But you know what? In order to really understand it, it'd be much better. And you're not going to get a survey if you ask a kid to do it. You know what I mean? You're not going to get it. Even if you send it to them, how many will return it? 10%? So this way, you'll probably get an 80, 90% compliancy, because they're making out the form anyway. They'll flip over, check it off, and turn it back in. That's going to be the issue. And of course, maybe there's programming. A prime example, if 40 people check off that they're going because they want to take occupational therapy, well, then maybe the community college needs to address that. Maybe that might be an idea, because they offer that in Orange County, and they offer it in
Hudson Valley.
They offer that. I'm not sure if they do. I know they offer it in Orange, and then it's quite a ways before any other places that offer. So, who knows? Maybe enough of them that it would make sense to have that program. Particularly, you already have the nursing program there anyway, so it wouldn't take a lot to add on to that. So, we don't know. So, I think it makes sense, though. But we'll have that for next time around. All right. How many are you going to go for the opening of this, of the veterans home?
I'm going
to
try to.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be nice. All right. So then we don't have this to sign, because it's a more of a...
Before you further?
Yes, go ahead.
I've been doing some thinking, and I'm not sure matter of fact, I doubt that I'm going to support doing it for several reasons. I'd just like to bring the reasons out for consideration. The last time was 2006, and I think that's about the time that I started coming in, joining the legislature, somewhere in that time frame. And after that, we did a maintenance of effort. And the maintenance of effort to me means whatever you give, you got to give the next year or there's a problem. And without going through the college's budget or anything like that, the maintenance of effort was our contribution to them, and whatever they wanted to do was within their budget mechanism. Going and delve right into it, because we weren't giving any less or any more, and that was what they had to deal with, and we were going to have to give that maintenance of effort for that, so we didn't put it in trouble. But now they're a little bit short, and they're looking for additional monies, and we haven't looked through their budget to make sure that what's in it we feel is appropriate. And at this point, I don't think we can. We certainly don't have time. The budget's ready to go and all of that. So that concerns me. There's been a report put out by a state university which talks about community colleges, and it seems from their report that we contribute out of 31 contact. They don't use the city of New York and the Kingsborough and all that. But we're up, I think they're 23 million and change without us. We put in six, but then we also put in the other, we wind up with the other three for the charge back, so we're really giving nine.
But we're not giving them that. They don't get any of that money.
No, they don't get it, but we're spending it as a county. We're spending it for our residents to have the college and for them to go to community college, the residents that are here.
Well, we would pay that even if there wasn't a community college.
No, I understand, we're paying more.
We're paying.
It's going out of our pocket. And we're at 28%, which is the third highest out of the 31, our percentage that we give to subsidize the college. And they go as low as 3.7% for Hudson Valley. So we're more than doing our share. And
where did you get that?
Well, we got this. It was done by NYSAC. They sent it out. And it says there, what they got from it was from their source, was from State University of New York.
I wonder if they're comparing apples to apples.
I'm not telling you that I haven't vetted this thing other than it came from NYSAC. And NYSAC is indicating that they got it from the State of New York. So that's, as far as vetting, that's all. I haven't been able to call anybody and say, where you get it, look at the raw data and all of that. So, but what it does, it does indicate something. And there are direct links and things along that line, and it's on, you can find it. So the state isn't doing what, in my opinion, isn't doing what they're supposed to be doing. We're kicking in $6 million, and then with that other three that we talk about, that still gets kicked in. And even that couple $100,000, all I understand, if it comes back, it goes to the college and not to the county. Now, that may be wrong, but that's my understanding. So I really find that the state, the people that, the state is supposed to be coming up with more money. We start at $100 here, and now we go into a contract of having to continue that as a maintenance of effort. You can't go back on it. I would like to see them do it. I know that our prices are up there. In terms of community colleges, from my stockbroker, I got something here, and he's talking about, you know, this is nothing unusual for education. That it's gone up all across the lot, and it's going up for us too. It's just the way that it runs. And you get a heck of an education for $4,000 here as what you might get somewhere else. And the prices for some of these are just astronomical.
So we're also one of the highest, though.
Well, I think we're the third highest or something like that. I got it, but we're talking about hundreds of dollars off many thousands of dollar bills that you can go somewhere else. So since I can't really look at the budget, I'm not happy with what the state is doing. We're paying more, according to the information I got, that I assume NYSAC is correct, and I assume the state of New York is correct. Is how they. I don't know how they do it each way, but it tells me that we're paying a goodly amount. I don't know what anybody else is paying for having the residents go to other community colleges, but there's another $3 million in there, and that's a lot. It's about $9 million in the total educational expense, either for the college or going somewhere else. It's a lot of money. But at some point, you've got to think about holding those other people accountable to pay for it and realize what our percentages are, and then whether it be true or not be true or whatever, we're not in the best of shape financially is what we're hearing. We've had the executive committee talk to us about it. I don't know what it's going to be, but the $200,000, I think it's $40,000. Is that going to cost people their jobs? Is it not going to, I don't know. What's going to be cut? What the budget's going to look like? I don't know. But I think it's the wrong time to start spending $250,000 without knowing what's coming in October. And if that forces some other cuts in some other places that we would rather not have, then I wouldn't feel good about that either. So,
all right, well,
so many unknowns for me.
Right. Well, the only thing I could say is we have an increase in it since 2006. And to say that the state's not picking up theirs, so we shouldn't pick up ours, is kind of like an interesting concept. So I don't know,
that argument is doesn't hold a lot of water there, right?
Well,
you know,
it's only
what I mean?
One part of an argument.
I mean, his point is, if well, the state, you're not going to pick up your share. Well, I'm not going to pick up my share. Well, if we pick up our share,
we picked up their.
We have not picked up their share.
Well, we're paying more than they are.
But that's not the point. Our share is one third, and we're not paying our.
They don't have to balance their budget. We do.
Our share is one third. We're not.
We're supposed to be one third.
Right. So I don't know, and then that you bring up that $3.2 million. That has nothing to do with schools. Well, it has to do with school replacement because they probably should have never put it there. It should have went to a population center, but that's there's nothing that we can do about that.
Well, it's not.
We can't move the
building. The only question I'm not doing is a question of that we're paying for our residents.
That's fine. Well,
and we should. It's not that we shouldn't. So we're not shirking our responsibility.
You want the kids to pay the extra on it? Go for it. It's your vote. You know,
well,
I'm just letting you know what I'm. I'm not going to blindside you with it. That's all.
I understand. I'm just saying I got $250,000 that I'm spending. And what does that transfer into October in here? And if it turns out that people are going to lose their jobs or things along that line, I don't. $250,000 of money. So if that happens, then I wouldn't feel good about that either. So this, what I'm saying is there are so many unknowns in here, I think it's the wrong time to do it. Not that it's the wrong thing to do.
Well, is there a right time?
Yes, there is. There are better times than others.
What, last year?
Well, you'll pick the year you want. We haven't found it since 2006, but somewhere in 2006 we found it and we'll find it again.
Well, anything else? Entertain a motion to adjourn?
A motion.
Second. Okay. All those in favor, aye. Thank you.